This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Okay, hour two, we're flying here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Michael Lombardi in HD. I'm Patrick Maher. It looks great. Mikhail, Stephen Bond, everybody back at Circa. It looks tremendous. Speaking of Circa, the venerable Mike Palm will join us coming up in about 12 minutes. Looking forward to talking to Mr. Palm there, Mr. Lombardi.
Yes. Yeah, and always look forward to the great Mike Palm. Always has great information and certainly want to talk about the contest, which is spectacular and done by the circuit right where you are, and it makes Sundays very entertaining.
And then Tim Kawakami will join. Nobody's better covering the 49ers. We have to continue to delve into the Jimmy G drama. Speaking of drama, I do have bad news from you. I've heard from the queen, and that is Millie Lombardi, and she has let me know that you're not allowed to have a hot dog cart. So I apologize, but she says that's
okay,
very
then.
Much.
That covers that
very. Just let's
that.
Leave it there. Let's leave it there. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything else. Okay.
All right. Maybe we'll get Bill Berman a hot dog cart. Maybe we could do that. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I think Millie probably has say over that as well. The Dolphins, we talked about the Dolphins. She's the best. The Dolphins, this guy is going nuts. Let's go ahead and throw it up, Stephen Bond. There's a better that is getting loose on the Dolphins. And again, he's not the only one. The Dolphins have been very hot. The Dolphins have been very hot in the market as far as there's a team that you're fading in that division, or the public is fading, and that's the Patriots, and the team that they're jumping on is the Dolphins. 900,000 to win 360,000 on the Dolphins to win more than 7.5 games, so adjusted number there. To make the postseason, he bet $100,000 to win $135,000 at plus 135 on the Dolphins to make the postseason, and then bet $10,000 to win $400,000 on the Dolphins to win the Super Bowl at 40-1. So this person has over $1 million invested in the Dolphins this year. Good luck.
Yeah. 900 of it though. I mean, we can't get that 7.5 number. That number's
not
adjusted.
Number.
He bought points on that. So I like the 7.5. I mean, I'd bet the 7.5 number on Miami too. I like that bet. So he's got 900,000 tied up, which I think is a fairly safe bet. Okay. I like that one. The other two I'm not in love with. I think they could. You know, I was going back and getting ready for week one, Patrick. So I went back. I watched the tape of the Patriots opener and the conclusion games. And when you watch those tapes, I mean, you know, what jumps out to you isn't Miami. That doesn't jump out to you. Miami took the opening drive. They went down the field and scored. They really didn't have – they had two drives in that game, the first drive and the last drive. And then the game in Miami – you know, Tua threw for, I think, 109 yards. They ran the ball against New England. And so what jumps out at you when you watch that tape is New England, 16 penalties in two games, okay?
Mm-hmm.
8 in each game. They fumbled 6 times in two games, lost 4 of them. There's the game, right?
Not great.
And Tua wasn't very good. He was 11 for 27 on third down in both games. He threw for 307 yards combined in both games. Right? He was, you know, 31 for 49. His longest pass was a 36 run and catch. So, I mean, I get the love. I love Tyreek Hill. No one loves Tyreek Hill more than I do. I think they're good on defense. I really do. I think they're good on defense. You know, Byron Jones is not going to be out there. They're going to have to go with some younger corners. You know, Needham will still play in the slot. They'll take the kid who I can't pronounce his last name from Auburn, who they drafted in the first round, play him outside. They're going to play a lot of cover one. They're going to play one rat, one funnel. They're going to cover up your guards. They're going to be hard to play. And, you know, Tua's going to have to make some plays and not turn the ball over. Do I think he can function? Sure. Do I think he's an elite player? No. I mean, I would be critical of this man's bet or woman's bet if he bet Tua to be the MVP of the league, like some people did for Lance.
Sticking in that division, I mean, think about it. There's one team everybody's betting. Of course, the Bills are your Super Bowl favorites. They're your betting favorites across the board as far as awards and everything. But Miami getting some juice. I don't even know if New England, the way that people are talking about the Patriots, I don't know if they should show up for the 2022 season. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. They're going to win two games and it's over. They don't have an offensive coordinator. Everybody's sleeping on your boy Belichick and the Patriots right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's – and I don't know who said this, either Mike Reese, I read it on Twitter – but somebody said, hey, look, Belichick's always at his best when everybody kind of doesn't think he'll get it straightened out. Look, you know, I ultimately, there's to say there's not disconnection on their offense would be a lie. They have to get things straight. I talked about this on my podcast. I think whenever you make a change, you know, you tend to lose focus on what you really want to get done. There's a lot of different ideas. Steve Jobs talks about this when he first went to Apple or the second time he came back. And one of the great strengths of Steve Jobs was his ability to focus. Now, people think that's just paying attention to what you're doing. No, focus evolves more into saying no to distractions, saying no to ideas that may not apply. I think the Patriots have to go back to focusing on what they want to be offensively. Do they want to still kind of go down this road as an outside zone team? I'm not sure that's who they are. I think they're a point of entry run team. What are they going to do offensively in the passing game? Do they want to go back to their stuff? I have faith that the head coach, he hasn't won all these games because he's stupid. He'll figure out how to fix it. Will it happen week one? Maybe, maybe not. Will it happen by the time the season's over? Absolutely.
AFC East right now, the Bills, you know, prohibitive favorites at minus 240. The Dolphins, your second betting favorite at plus 475. The Patriots are sitting 5-1, and the Jets are sitting 28-1, which is a natural progression to the Jets. So if the market is fading,
the most talented team in football.
Well, I have to ask you. So you tweeted that this is an issue because everybody they cut got scooped up really quickly, right? The Jets. So tell me what you were talking about there.
Well, so like, you know, when you're the 07 Patriots and you have a lot of talent, people are looking at you because you're a hard team to make, right? You know, Green Bay, when they were going good with Favre and Ron Wolf was up there, they were a hard team to make, and who they cut mattered. You know, there was maybe not enough wiggle room in their roster for everybody on there. The Jets shouldn't be a hard team to make, right? They shouldn't be a hard team to make. They won 5 games last year, but all of a sudden they're getting a bunch of guys cut. They're getting a bunch of guys claimed. Now, what I tweeted yesterday was, are the Jets correctly evaluating their own talent? Because they're getting a lot of guys claimed, and they're keeping guys over the guys that they got claimed, or are the Jets that good? You decide.
Yeah, you said specifically, Jets cannot correctly evaluate their talent. How can a team with 5 wins be so talented? Or the, and I just lost the second part of it, the Jets, you said you decide. Is it the Jets are loaded and have more talent than they could ever imagine, or they can't correctly evaluate their talent? Because the general manager there is, I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
He's already in it. I'm shocked he's not there. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt. Now, you know, I mean, they keep Dwayne Brown, the left tackle that they cut, you know, that played in the preseason for them. I can't pronounce his name. He's now on Atlanta. He got cut. He got claimed by Atlanta, who needs, you know, it's funny. Atlanta claims a Jet offensive lineman when the Jets need offensive linemen, you know. You know, it would be like me going, when I would say to Al, we should claim this guy, and Al would say, don't they need offensive linemen too? You know, like, seriously, we're taking a, it's like taking somebody from Pittsburgh, you know, it'd be like claiming a Pittsburgh offensive lineman. They need offensive linemen. Are they, you know, you're taking one from them?
The Jets and the Falcons, woof, that's a race to the bottom. DraftKings has the Falcons sitting 5, and I believe they still have the Jets. I'll pull it up. I think they're still sitting 5.5. It does appear, Michael Lombardi, you would lean under on the Jets at 5.5.
Well, I mean, look, we haven't seen the Jets went out there with their first team offense against Baltimore's backups. I mean, excuse me, against the Giants backups and struggled. I mean, let's face it. They didn't look very good. And how good is the coach? How good are the coaching staffs? I mean, last year, when you go through week one of the season, you know, and you go through all the coaches, there were 7 of them. Two people won the opening game. And that was because Arthur Blank faced Nick Sirianni in the opener. So somebody had to win that. Brendan Staley was the other opening day coach that won. But the first month of September with Robert Saleh, it was a disaster. They couldn't move the ball. They struggled to make plays. They turned it over. The details weren't covered. Look, are the Jets more talented? Probably they are. Are they going to be a good team? I'm going to wait and see. Like, I'm not saying, you know, that this is doom and gloom, but based on what I saw in that last preseason game, it doesn't look as rosy. I mean, there was somebody who was saying that the Jets are going to make, they have extra defensive linemen. They'll be able to trade their defensive linemen. Did they trade any of those defenses? No, of course not. There's a great hype machine going on.
Again, Robert Saleh is a defensive coordinator there with San Francisco. He's the head coach now with the Jets. If you thought optically the Jets' defense was bad last year, go ahead and dig into the metrics.
I urge you.
Because they're about as gross as you can find.
They're so bad. I mean, it's not even close. They're so bad. And, you know, it's a concern because, like, Brendan Staley's numbers on defense last year were gross. And, you know, he has Joey Bosa. He had, you know, the safety. He had all Derwin these good James. Players. Derwin James. He, you know, he had the kid, Asante Samuels Jr. I mean, they've had some good – Kenneth Murray, a first-round pick. They've had good players in there. It couldn't stop anybody. You know, at some point, you got to figure out, okay, how is this all changed? It's like Washington saying, we're not changing anything on the coaching staff, and we're not changing any players. We're just going to be better because why? More continuity. Okay, we'll see if that works out for you.
Well, Rivera specifically with the Commanders, he keeps on saying with the defense, they want to keep the continuity. The continuity, it was continuously terrible. The defense was terrible last year. Anywho. That number's still sitting 7 with Baltimore at the Jets week 1. I mean, the assumption is it's going to be Flacco, correct? I mean, there's no...
Oh, it is. I think it's Flacco. I think there's no doubt it's going to be Flacco. You know, and look, the number's 7, and it's being heavily bet, and all the money. It's all the money's coming in on Baltimore. Like Vinny said, everybody's betting Baltimore in this game, you know, and very little money's coming in. Everybody is betting... Houston, yet the number's moving to Indianapolis.
Nobody does the contest better than Circa with the million Circa Survivor. The triumphant return of the venerable Mike Palm next.
We should
right
get music
here.
Playing. Yes,
we
the mayor's
get,
coming he, on.
He's got to get the walk-up music like the Mets relievers. He's coming up next. He's Mike Palm here on the Lombardi Line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. Download the BetMGM app today. Bring your state-issued ID there in Nevada, and you're ready to go within minutes. Got to be 21 years or older if you have a gambling problem. It's 1-800-522-4700. New and improved, not just the lineup, but also the appearance there. You see it. It looks gorgeous. VSiN. The Sports Betting Network. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. We welcome you back. He doesn't write. He doesn't call. He is our guy. He used to come on the show all the time, and we haven't seen him in forever. He is the venerable Mike Palm, of course, over at Circa. And we say, welcome, Mike. How are you? Where you been?
Patrick, used to bees don't count anymore. They just lay on the floor till we sweep them away. I'm glad you're back in Bel Air. You seem happy there. Michael's traveling around the country on location. He'll be with Tic Tac Jick Jack there in the coast this weekend. Enjoy all the food, Michael. I'm good, and I'm glad to be back on with the boys.
It's great to have you, Mike. We missed you. There's no doubt. Nobody provides better info and analysis than you do, and You can cover the globe. Let me ask you this before we start off on football. Where are you on baseball's MVP? I love listening to your dissertation about that. Where are you on that one now?
I can't. You're not going to change my mind here. I mean, unless what's going to happen if Judge doesn't play the last month of the year? I mean, stop with the Ohtani. I know he hits the two errors behind Cole last night. Of course, set up Ohtani to be the hero again.
I love it.
Somebody needs to answer me this question. In the first half of the year, when they had their Hall of Fame manager, Joe Maddon, still there, before Ohtani, you know, led to his demise, as well as the owner now wants to sell the team, this guy could only pitch every 7 days. And we heard all the excuses. Oh, in Japan, that's what they do. He has to be on this schedule. Teams' rotations are 5-man rotations. They're not 7-man rotations. Remember, we had Wednesday night Ohtani all through the first, while they were still in the race. Now they're 20 games out of a wild card spot. He's got to go every fifth day. He can't miss a start. 2 weekends ago, he was in Detroit throwing up all Saturday night. Didn't tell anybody. Started on Sunday. He can't miss. Why can't he miss a start? He missed a start, 3 starts in the first half because of the 7 days when his team was still in contention. But now he can't miss a start? This is classic stats chasing, classic awards chasing.
I love it.
Look at Lombardi.
I knew I could get him going.
Look at you smirking. You're Cheshire Cat over there. You knew exactly what you were doing, firing him up.
I love it because, I mean, he's so right, and he makes such great points that, you know, we have to get away from. I mean, what happens is we've lost sight of the realism, and Mike makes a great point. Look, if you want to give him the award, just give him the award. Go ahead and say you want to give him the award. It's fine. But, like, what Judge is doing and winning matters. We talk about the most valuable player in football, right? You know, do you see the most valuable player on a team that doesn't make the playoffs? Do you, Mike? Answer.
Never.
I don't know.
Never. If you want to call it most outstanding player, then change the name of the award. If you take Ohtani off the Angels, they go from being a fourth place team to a fifth place team. If you take Judge off the Yankees, they may not even make the playoffs. Forget about being an East champion or a one seed in the American League.
Yeah, I think it's a great point, and I think it's something that needs to be discussed because we are now shifting into this. It's almost like the Hall of Fame. We all of a sudden we create these candidates. You know, Don Coryell belongs in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, Don Coryell's a wonderful man, and he did a lot for football. 52% winning percentage. He didn't win a Super Bowl. 52% didn't win a Super Bowl, and he's getting in. Meanwhile, Mike Shanahan sitting over there saying, "I got two trophies." Holmgren's saying, "I went to two. I won one." You know, at Clark Shaughnessy saying, you know, you guys wouldn't be throwing the forward pass if it wasn't for me. And Buddy Parker saying, like, okay, what do I have to do to get some love over here? It's just, it becomes us. That's what drives me crazy. The momentum builds and reality sets in of a non-reality situation.
It becomes a narrative. It becomes a narrative, Michael. And then if you speak out against it with the truth, then there's got to be some other motivation that you can't just be objectively looking at the facts. You know, you get vilified for it.
Yeah. Mike Palm's too busy betting Austrian soccer and European. I mean, he's too busy betting soccer to care about the MVP award. I know this.
Argentina, Palm, Patrick, Argentina, you got to get these new old boys that can't score. This Argentina's great.
Hey, you and me, bro, I blanket bets on Argentina under. That's all I do. And Mike Palm's the under king when it comes to European soccer. Okay. And South American soccer. Okay. I don't think you, Derek Stevens, Benson, the whole crew at Circa, I don't think 4 years ago, 3 years ago now, I don't think there's any way you thought Circa Million and Circa Survivor would all of a sudden be the industry standard as far as the contest. Like, this has surpassed your imagination, no?
No, I thought maybe we could get there quickly. Amal Shaw, my former partner, and if you ever see him, say hello. He doesn't return my calls anymore. He said that in the second year, and within 2 years that we would get more entries than the Westgate, and he was the only one that said it, and he's right. Of course, we're always going to underachieve because Derek keeps going forward with these guarantees. $6 million in each this year. I had him. We were walking out of the meeting in February last year. I had him at 4-4, and oh no, we had to go 6-4. Well, what was it? 4,100, 4,100. Then this year, we're in the meeting in March. Me and Jeff Benson, I thought that we had Derek convinced to go 4 million in the millions and 6 million in the Survivor. Oh no, 6-6. So here we sit, you know, the up to the minute numbers, 36.59 in the Survivor, 27.11 in the Circa Millions 4. I think the Survivor will get there. It'll get to 6,000. I don't think the Millions has any shot. I think the best case scenario, maybe we get to 4,500. There'll probably be a million and a half overlay, probably staring down the teeth of a 2 million overlay. But, you know, some of the pros and the advantage players will come in seeing that overlay in the last few days and push that up. But I don't, you know, it's great for the players, all that free money the house is putting in.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But look, we see a great momentum. And I think certainly as we build up to this, you know, there's going to be tremendous momentum. And I think, Mike, you do such a good job. Explain to people listening to this that aren't in Vegas how they can. I know you have to be in Vegas to join or have somebody help you join who lives in Vegas.
Yeah, just like you, Michael, who'll be in New Jersey and other places most of the year. You're in the contest and paid your money to get in. No free entries here. But we have great proxies out here. So because of the Wire Act, which says that there cannot be interstate gaming, you have to register in the state of Nevada, and then you can assign a proxy that will put your picks in. So each week you're going to text your proxy on whatever their deadline is. There's really great proxy services. You can go online and look it up. You can go on VSiN and look up the services, make an appointment when you come out here. They're going to charge a fee. It's generally between $200 and $300 for the season to put your picks in. And then every week you're going to text them your picks. They'll put the picks in. They come to the kiosks here for their clients. Even some people that live in Nevada, like Brent, you know, they get a proxy just because it's good to have somebody reminding them along the way. Hey, 2 hours till you get your picks in. You've used these teams already if you're in the Survivor. That is they're very professionally done. They've upgraded their technology every year, and it's really a great customer service experience. If we didn't have proxy services, instead of talking about 6,000 people, we'd be talking about 600, Michael.
Yeah, that's true. And just for the record, Mike, I enrolled, but I'm not in it. I am not doing it. I did it for other people back here in the great Garden State of New Jersey, but I love it. The one I'm fascinated with, and Patrick knows this, is I'm fascinated with Survivor. Survivor on the surface looks like the easiest thing you can do. I think it's the hardest thing to do. I think it's one of the hardest contests ever. And I marvel at people that do it. I know some that have like 6-7 entries into the Survivor. I just think it's damn hard.
Well, look, give us a tip to start the Survivor contest.
Yeah, week one. Look at week one. It's all road favorites. I mean, it's all landmines. They asked me, Mitch and Paul asked me if I had Survivor. Of course, I can't play. I love it, though. The storylines are incredible. I said, I think I'm on Tennessee in week one. I don't. My principle is, and I've played in these before, not this one, obviously, I don't take road teams, and I don't try to play division games. Well, if you don't take road teams, that throws out 10 games. If you don't play division games, that throws out Bengals over Steelers. Not that I would take the Bengals anyhow. And what are you left with here? I think what you're left with is the Tennessee Titans over the Giants in week one.
And that one I don't feel good about. And I don't feel good about it. You know, go ahead, Patrick. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. That's perfect. That's a pro tip, Mike Palm, right there. Road teams, stay away. Division, to stay away as far as the contest, Circa Survivor. By the way, a friend of mine, Jason in Michigan, he's involved with Circa Millions 4. He used a proxy, and you can go to circasports.com to find out all the information. But he used a proxy, Mike, and he said it was seamless. So it was simple.
People that haven't done it for the first time, they come up to Derek and I, and they rave about it. Hey, we opened up in Sparks in Northern Nevada at the Legends Bay the other night. We were up there on Tuesday evening. The governor came and spoke and was very complimentary of Derek. Yesterday, think about this. Yesterday, the over-the-counter right at that book up in Northern Nevada was more than the right at the D, at the Golden Gate, at the Tuscany, or at the Pass.
Wow.
Only Circa outrouted. So the demand up there, only 3 hours from the Bay Area, I think it's going to be just outstanding for us.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Here's the question, and we got a minute. Will you come and hang out with us more during the football season?
Well, I would love to. I just don't want to violate any of the parameters that have been set up here.
You're in. There's no parameters. We got it. We got
strict schedules now. Strict schedules for appearances.
Didn't we have a meeting where we all said we want Mike Palm to be one of our regular contributors? So we would love to have you again. Circasports.com for all the information for the contest. Best contest in the industry. And again, it's so much fun to get involved. Make sure you check it out. Mike Palm,
thank you, Mike,
very much.
Michael, have fun in Mississippi.
Oh, I will, Mike. I will. I'll have
with
a good old time
with
down
tic-tac,
there.
Jick, with tic-tac, jick-jack. That's Mike Palm.
My man. I'll look forward to it.
We're going to come back and talk to Tim Kawakami, talking 49ers and Jimmy D drama right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, college football season is upon us. We got the regular season kicking off in a week for the NFL. Make sure you go get your betting guides. College football betting guide, NFL pro betting guide. You're going to make money. You just got to invest a little. It's $175 right now. Remember, only VSiN subscribers get access to the tools, the prep for college and football seasons, and the guides. You get exclusive articles from Michael Lombardi, Point Spread Weekly. It's all there. Just become a VSiN Pro subscriber over at VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, we're really excited to be joined by Tim Kawakami. He has been covering, I feel like I've been reading Tim for years and years, covering the 49ers. Of course, the TK podcast, which is tremendous. You can find the TK podcast on Apple and Spotify as we welcome in Tim Kawakami here on the Lombardi Line. And I'll start here. Thank you for joining us, Tim. We appreciate it. Was the Jimmy G news shocking to you? Would you categorize it as shocking?
Pretty shocking, yeah. I mean, you know, listen, maybe there were some signs that things were changing, adjustments were being made, but, you know, a quarterback who's been replaced, had been on the trade market, had been given permission to go find a trade, who was not practicing with the team, who was not going to meetings, didn't have a playbook. Everything led everyone to believe, including, I believe, Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers, that he was going to be on another team this season. It just didn't materialize. I mean, that was the unexpected thing, that there was no other option for him. Maybe he had, like, you know, minor chances to be a backup somewhere, but he didn't know. There was nothing firm. You know, I think the biggest surprise, I don't know, I'm shocked that the 49ers would think about having him as a backup. He's pretty good insurance. As Kyle Shanahan says, there's not 32 starting, you know, level quarterbacks in the NFL. They've got two of them in their minds. They think Jimmy Garoppolo is better than a lot of them out there, probably would agree with that. I didn't dispute that they might want that, but the fact that Garoppolo would take the pay cut, and listen, we knew he wasn't going to get $24 million. You know, he was going to have to take less, but the fact that he would take 6.5 guaranteed with 49ers, would accept to be the backup at a place that, you know, basically that replaced him a year ago, and he stayed a year, and they absolutely turned the team over to Trey Lance, and he's still coming back as a backup. Yeah, that's pretty surprising. One of the more surprising, you know, kind of deadline cut down things I've seen in recent 49ers history. And there's been a few of them, but I was pretty shocked.
Tim, now, you know, you've covered this team a long time, and the rhetoric, and I thought you put it out there perfectly about how they were moving on. Was there a trigger? I said this last week. Patrick and I did the show, and I said when Kyle Shanahan flying back from Houston to San Francisco, I said on the show, he's got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting with himself that Trey Lance might really be a year away from being a year away, which is what we've talked about on this show. Do you think there was a trigger? Because this is really an about fit. When you don't give a guy a playbook, you're not. You don't want him back. I mean, John Lynch just 2 weeks ago said there was interest in him. Like,
yep.
Do you?
Oh,
think,
no question. No question.
I think something happened.
I would say a couple things probably led into it, and some of them they'll talk about, and some of them they won't. I agree. I think Trey Lance gave Kyle Shanahan some moments of doubt. Well, I mean, we've been writing about it all summer. Training camp has not been very good. I think they think he sees the field. I think they think he has poise. The accuracy is an issue. And we know in the Kyle Shanahan offense, all those Debo Samuel things are like, get it to him in stride and let him go. And if you can't get it to him in stride, that bogs it down. You know, that just kind of removes some of the electricity from this offense. I think that was an issue. I think the Nate Sudfeld flame out, you know, that, I think we all questioned that at the beginning. Like, that's going to be your backup? That you picked that already? You're giving him $2 million guaranteed? What if Trey Lance is hurt? What if he's not great and Nate Sudfeld is your answer? And I think about halfway through camp, they kind of went, whoa, you know, maybe we got to rethink this. I think they did consider Brock Purdy as the backup, but then you've got Trey Lance as your starter and Brock Purdy as your backup, a rookie, you know, seventh round pick, last player pick. I think those two things played into it. And then Trey Lance being okay with Jimmy Garoppolo. I do think Trey Lance had veto power over this. And, you know, it's a unique situation. These two guys like each other. I think, you know, it's going to be weird to just see the quarterback depth chart just flipped 1-2 going back, you know, flipping 1-2 again. But I think a lot of things played into this and many, many different things. But Mike, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think Trey Lance just like took over this job and they said, that's it. You're Patrick Mahomes now. Let's get rid of Alex Smith. That did not happen. And there's a reason it didn't happen, because I think Kyle Shanahan said, there might be a little, we've got a really good roster here. I mean, they do. They have talent everywhere except probably the middle of the offensive line. Everywhere else, they're built to try to go get a Super Bowl. I think there was some question in Kyle Shanahan's mind after a week or two or three of training camp that I do need some insurance. I do, you know, even if it shakes up the locker room a little bit, even if it gets awkward, and they're saying it won't, but it probably will at some point. I do need somebody that I feel I can go 3-1. Let's say if they need, you know, 4 games, just step in there, play 4 games, maybe play a playoff game. I do think there was some calculation about that happened in the middle of this camp. I agree with you.
Go ahead, Michael. I see you itching. I can't believe Tim saying that Trey had veto power. That's amazing to me. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I just feel like that. Kyle, what you said also is they are a legitimately good team. The betting number says over 10.5. You know, I agree. They claimed the young kid, Blake Hance, from Cleveland to come in and kind of give me fits perfectly for what they want to do in the inside of the offensive line. So, you know, I saw them do that. The inside line has to worry them, even though they have 2 draft picks there. But to me, the momentum that they were kind of trying – look, last summer, Tim, all we heard about was how great Trey Lance looked. And it wasn't coming – I'm not saying it was coming from you. It was coming from the PR campaign around Trey Lance. And this summer, there hasn't been that campaign. It's been tempered. And so I think at the end of the day, I think Jimmy needed them, and they needed Jimmy.
I agree. That's it. I mean, it just got to the point where he was more valuable to them than he was to the rest of the league, and they were more valuable to him than any other team was. It just was this weird kind of concoction where, you know, and you know, you throw out the, you know, with Trey Lance has veto power. I'm not saying that he, you know, absolutely yes or no. It's like, if they didn't feel Trey was comfortable for this, I don't think they would have done it. Just because they gave him 3 first-round picks for him. You don't light him on fire. You don't bring in a guy that he's uncomfortable with because you still believe at 87%, whatever surety, or, you know, instead of 99%, it's like 87, it's 82, whatever you want to say. You don't bring in somebody who could directly challenge that. You bring in somebody who could supplement that and maybe replaces them down the road. I think they're all open to that possibility. But yeah, it hasn't been smooth. I think we all know. I mean, it just hasn't looked great. At times it looks good. At times it looks not great. I think they're going into the season intending to run the ball. Kyle said, just run the ball, play defense, like they did in 2019 when they weren't so sure about Jimmy Garoppolo. Remember, he's coming off an ACL. They had acquired him the year, 2 years before. They still didn't really know about him. And then they play it safe, and he has some great games later in the season. They were hoping that about Lance going into this camp. They didn't really feel great about a lot of these practices, so they hedged it. You know, they hedged the bet. Again, it's not a great sign that Trey Lance is going to be a superstar. It's just a team saying, we like him. We have this unique opportunity to make sure that we're not at a loss if he's no good or gets hurt, and that's a big thing, too. And Nate Sutton was going to be that bet.
That's the big thing, Tim, because I think what you hit the nail on the head is Kyle knows he's got to run Trey Lance. Trey Lance has got to be a ball carrier. I'm not saying he's going to run every play, but they need to threaten him on the edge. They'll need to move the pocket. They'll need to make sure he has free access throws where if he kind of misjudges the throw with his accuracy, the receiver's so open he's going to catch it. And there's a propensity when you do that to a quarterback for injury. I mean, that's just fact. And I think that also played into it because they like you said, they misjudged with Nate Sudfeld. They've misjudged with a lot of quarterbacks. Let's put this on the table, Tim. You can add every quarterback that they've brought in there, including Jimmy Garoppolo, they misjudged. Because remember, everybody forgets this. They wanted Kirk Cousins, not Jimmy Garoppolo. They were going to trade Jimmy.
No question. I mean, Kirk Cousins has been the great white whale out there for Kyle Shanahan. There's other coaches who really like him, but he's the guy. Like they did not look at Patrick Mahomes in the draft when they had the second pick overall because they were pretty sure they were going to sign Kirk Cousins the next spring. I mean, there you can go down the line. They did not sign Tom Brady when Brady wanted to come here after the 2019 season because they kept Jimmy Garoppolo. It's just been the series of, you know, in every one of the decisions you can kind of understand it. It's just fascinating to see all these little intricate moves that they've had to kind of couch and, you know, bet against and hedge against and, you know, take a gamble, take a risk. It's been fascinating. And, you know, look, then he sees his buddy Sean McVay just make a trade for Matt Stafford. And they're like, whoa, wait a minute here. That would have solved a lot of things. It's just this, we can go through it over and over. They've just got to this point where they thought they settled everything by trading 3 first-round picks to move up to get Trey Lance and not picking Mac Jones. And I know, Mike, you're pretty heavy on the idea that Kyle probably wanted Mac Jones. I agree with you. To the extent of it, we'll see. You know, he might have been able to say, okay, I do want the guy with a little more talent. That's Trey Lance. But there's definitely was a strong feel for Mac Jones. All these things are just fascinating, right? Like, this is they thought they settled it all. And it's still kind of up in the air. It's still unsure.
Nobody better. Tim Kawakami, the
Athletic,
of course.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you.
Hey, also, check out the TK podcast, Apple and Spotify. Tim Kawakami, thank you so much. Appreciate the information.
Thank you, Tim.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
We have to come back and discuss. There were 3 things I wrote down. We got to discuss and follow up with what he had to say about the 49ers. It's a Lombardi line.
Listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, it's the spirit of Las Vegas with the king of sportsbooks, BetMGM. So every time you make a wager, you get involved in the loyalty program, redeemable for online bonus credits, converted into comps at hotels, casinos. It's awesome. It's the best loyalty program in the business. It's BetMGM. Every time you make a bet, you get points. It's that simple. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Tim Kawakami joined us here on the Lombardi Line for season prep on the San Francisco 49ers. Remember, season prep available for VSiN Pro members over at VSiN.com. We need to talk about this and make it applicable for the better. I thought Kawakami, yes. And you know he's dialed in. You saw him when you were up there in the Bay. He's covered this team forever. Yeah. when he said that he felt Trey Lance may have veto power over keeping, not necessarily over keeping Garoppolo, but that he had some say in it, immediately I was shocked because I'm like, this kid that's proven nothing has say in the organization?
No, his agent. I mean, look, his agent's Jimmy Sexton, a powerful agent in the league. And the last thing you want to do is ruffle feathers with somebody who you're going to need to count on down the road to help you get players. Just fact. I mean, it's not a quick pro quo, but it's you've got to keep him informed. And so I'm sure what happened is they said, hey, look, we better call Lance. We better call Sexton and let him in. Here's where we are. Now, I mean, one thing about Sexton or agents, they're realistic too. Like, they understand you have to do what's the best interest for the team. This is why this made sense. Now, if they would have pivoted and said they're going back to Jimmy, they're going back to Jimmy and Trey Lance is out, Sexton would be having a heart. He'd be going crazy. They didn't. He just basically, they got to protect their team, and I'm sure they presented that way to Sexton, who then could present it to Trey Lance and his family.
Okay. He agreed with your assertion that outside, maybe interior offensive line, but outside of the questions at quarterback, and these are questions, the way the 49ers have handled it, that the team is ready to win a Super Bowl. Do you agree with this?
I do. I think they're really good defensively. I think they will run the football, even though they cut Trey Sermon, one of their third-round picks. I mean, they've always found running backs. I mean, look, they picked Sermon in the third. They traded up to get him, and they got Mitchell in the sixth. Now, all the draft nicks and everybody, all the analytical people will yell, but at the end of the day, you got a good player, right? You just picked the wrong guy. Sometimes that happens in the draft. They're going to run the football, right? The concern they have is Spencer Buford at right guard. He's a fourth-round pick in 22. Is he ready to play? I'm not sure he is. So they took this kid, Hentz, from Cleveland, who was on their team. Cleveland wanted him to go on their practice squad. A lot of teams were interested in him because he can play center and guard, and he's kind of a perfect zone blocker. That's kind of what he does. I'm not saying he's an elite player, but he's perfect for what they want to do. And, you know, other than that, their offense is ready to go. They're ready to run. They can run the ball behind Trent Williams. Here's the thing, what I don't think people understand in pro football is when you have a left tackle like Trent Williams who can run block and is physical, it really gives you a different kind of run game because most of the run games in the league are right-handed. You want to run the ball to the right. You want to run over. But when you can run left and all of a sudden and you have a weak, you have a defensive end who's not very physical and he can't play the run very well, all of a sudden, you've got to rotate the coverage to the safety. The safety's got to come back over. It's a little bit what happened when Jonathan Ogden was in the National Football League when he played for the Ravens. They ran the ball to the left. It's the same thing with Smith. We talked about Trayvon Smith's numbers, Dallas running left. A left tackle that can be physical and run block is a huge advantage. San Francisco has that. They've got yards after the catch receivers. They have that. So they have everything other than the absolute understanding that the quarterback can execute all this. And then defensively, I think they're very good.
Yeah, I think they're going to be great defensively. Go ahead and throw those Super Bowl odds up from BetMGM, Stephen Bond. I want to have a little fun with Michael. So you see at BetMGM, the 49ers are 16-1 to win a championship, and the Chargers are sitting on the board at 14-1. I use those two teams because I want you to go right now. I want you to tell me better value Chargers 14-1 or better value 49ers 16-1. Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, here it all is. And this is all, and this is betting tip number 2005 from the Lombardi line. Like, the reason that there's difference in those numbers is because Herbert plays for the Chargers and Trey Lance plays for the team. The fact that they're that close with that big of a discrepancy of quarterbacking play tells you how good the 49ers are. It just tells you how good the 49ers are because they shouldn't be that close with the deficit at quarterback. I mean, you're talking about a top five quarterback and a bottom five quarterback. And so there should be a wider gap between those odds. But because the book thinks the 49ers are good, those odds are tighter, which they shouldn't be. But to me, that's how I read that, Patrick.
100%. That's why I brought it up. And I knew you were going to go that way. I mean, listen. They mortgaged the future. It's really just a weird spot to be in. They gave up everything to go up and get
it
the
is. Kids. And Adam Peters and John Lynch, they're going to have to stand behind it. I mean, they built the momentum to want this guy. And the Twitter family wanted this guy, too. I mean, it's a lot. Now, will he turn out? I don't know. I'm skeptical right now, but I do think he can run the ball and he can run some of what Kyle wants. Like Tim said, I think this is really important. The accuracy is a problem. The other thing we didn't have time to get into with Tim was the team. Like, the one thing you can't fool, and I think one of the reasons Kyle did this too, you can't fool the team. You can't fool the team. So Kyle basically went to the team by making this move and saying, I got your back. I got it. I hear you. I understand it. I'm not going to let the season go away from us.
Right. Yeah. That's the front office paying Kyle a solid after that plane flight from Houston to San Francisco.
Oh, that, cocktails. There's no, I've been on too many of those plane flights, especially with coaches, emotional coaches, that just say, you know, we got it, you know. I mean, I've been on a plane flight where they want to cut the whole entire team after a game like that. Like, you know, like, wait, we got to calm down here a little bit, you know. I mean, coaches want to cut the team after practice, after a couple bad practices, you know. I got to tell Mickey, my son, and Mick, they call it practice. They don't call it rehearsal. It's going to be mistakes. Like, you're going to mess up a little bit here. Calm down. We're not shooting a Western.
I think another aspect to this is they have to protect Lance. I think one of the reasons when Shanahan's flying back, he's like, I know he's not ready, and here's the problem. We need to protect him. It's not even about just Jimmy G sticking around. It's like, we need to protect this asset because this could blow up badly right now.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, too, is they have to make sure that they are always doing right to the kid. Like, they know they can't really put him out there and affect him. So they're covering the bases with him as much as they possibly can. And how do they keep his confidence? That's a hard part. You know, that's a hard part. But they got to try to keep it. They were trying to build his confidence last year with all the rhetoric about how great of a camp he was.
Would you say that was the 1,001st pro tip of the day from you, Michael Lombardi, in just 2 hours?
I think impressive. To me, ignore all the noise. You know, ignore the noise, right? Ignore the noise that's coming out. I think week one of the NFL season, you want betting tip number 210 this today. But week one of the regular season is a playoff weekend. It's a playoff weekend because the crowds are there. They're enthusiastic. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody thinks they're going to win the game. Everything's equal footing. It's going to be hard to play. The games are going to be tough. Now, some of them won't be because they turn out. But, I mean, look, the Eagles-Atlanta game was tight for the first half last year, and it got a blowout. The 49ers-Lions game was a blowout in the first half, got tight in the second half. I mean, there'll be some exceptions. However, that being said, they're also, I think it's everybody's playing their best. They're trying to play their hardest, not their best.
I have some really good news for you before you and Millie head down to the Bayou and hang out with Jick Jack down at the Beau Rivage. This is exciting news I'm going to leave you with. The Dolphins have named Tua the captain. Tua is now the captain for the first time of the Dolphins.
Of course he is. I mean, look,
that's exciting.
This campaign is reminiscent of the Lance campaign last year. You know,
similarities. I mean,
they're going to try to do everything they can in their power. And look, they've got a good team in Miami. Let's make no mistake about it. Their defense is good. Now they can't give up big plays like they did last year when Josh Boyer was running this team defensively before Brian Flores stepped in, which he doesn't get enough credit for the team. He's kind of been an afterthought. They've done a good job of dismissing the impact that Brian Flores had on that team, overcoming the season. And I think ultimately, you know, they're going to have to prove that they can play man-to-man and blitz zero as much as they do, especially the way Boyer wants to run the defense.
The similarities to Tua and Trey, I just when you said that, you're 100% right, right? I mean, when you have to protect your starter the way these two teams are protecting him with propaganda, it's starting to get weird.
Yeah, I just think we as a betting network and tip, you know, ignore the noise, ignore the rhetoric, right? Ignore the rhetoric because it's never true. And remember, last week doesn't matter. The most important play in football, Patrick, is the next play.
VSiN Big Bets, Dave Ross and Amal Shaw as the new lineup continues to roll on. Congratulations, everybody. It's been a seamless rollout. It looks brilliant. Mikhail, Stephen Bond, thank you. Back at Circa. Michael Lombardi, you travel safely, okay?
I'll see you Saturday morning from the Bayou, Patrick. Here I come.
I can't wait.
Chicory coffee. I can't wait for chicory coffee.
I don't think he knows what he's getting into. We'll see you next time here on the Lombardi Line.